Return to our series in Ephesians. We're reading Ephesians chapter 6 and reading verses 10 to 20. But we're only going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we recall, Paul has been alerting and admonishing Christians in regard to how we are to live in this sinful world. It's a hostile environment. It's not friendly. It isn't conducive to the Christian life. And everywhere we look, there is opposition. There is pressure for us to conform to the ways of the world rather than to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are called to take note of that. We're called to resist that. We're called to bring not only every thought captive to Christ, but every action, every act that we engage in, we need to make sure that it's in accordance with the law of God, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has only covered a few areas, foundational areas, yes, but only a few areas of our life. So he spoke about our relationship with our wives. He spoke about our relationship with our children, our families. He spoke about with respect to our relationship with our employers. Other areas he speaks about our relationship as citizens to the state. So there are only a few areas that he addresses. But they are very, very foundational areas, as we speak about. They are pillars of society upon which society functions and is based. And when those pillars are eroded, then society suffers. And we're living in days and in a country where that is blatantly true. So when you attack the family, when you attack marriage, when you attack when employment, the relationship between employers and employees is one that is adversarial, then it doesn't make for a wonderful environment and a wonderful society. So Paul has outlined some of those things, some of those areas. But it is by no means exhaustive. The battle is far more widespread than that. And so when he says, finally, he's now going to open up for us a reality that perhaps we don't always take into account. He's going to help us to understand that we are engaged in a global and cosmic struggle. If we don't get the big picture as Christians, then we're not going to act in ways that God calls us to in the scriptures. We're not going to be effective soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, people don't like that language because of all the wars that we have. But I tell you, that's what it is. That's what it is. And our foe is far greater than anything that we have seen in this world. We haven't, right? I mean, we've seen some things. But if we look down through the history of the world, there's been many horrific times. But I tell you, they have nothing on what is going on every day as the devil brings his onslaught against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the devil is involved in all of those incidents in the history of the world, because he is the one that is pushing for the destruction of this world and the people of it. That's what he wants to do, because it's God's creation. And he wants to destroy it. So he is behind all of those things. But we have to be able to see him. We have to be able to see what is going on. And so Paul doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by such a picture. But he does want us to see the picture. He doesn't want you to bury your head in the sand and pretend that it doesn't work. Like in the Second World War, some countries thought, oh no, we don't want to get involved. We just want to be the crowd around the fight. Doesn't work that way, does it? Doesn't work that way. The devil doesn't recognize your neutrality. There is no neutrality as far as the devil is concerned. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. But Paul, as I said, doesn't want to bring this up simply to scare us, but rather to prepare us, to equip us, to strengthen us, to call us to action. Victory, make no bones about it, is the Lord's and therefore ours. We are not in fear and in trepidation of the devil. Not because we are strong in and of ourselves, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And it's through him that we can cry that cry of victory. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. The church ought never to have a defeatist attitude. We ought to be confident because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. But as churches and as Christians, we have to understand that we are part of the army of God. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be involved. We need to see our lives in that context, not as our lives as our own private venture. Whatever things we want to accomplish, whatever things we want to enjoy, whatever things we want to see happen in our lives. And then once that is done, oh well, we've had our good share of life, now we can leave this life. No. Then you have no idea what's going on in this world. We need to be part of this wonderful purpose of God to defeat the devil and to bring in his wonderful righteousness. There is a war going on, and there are kingdoms that are at war with one another. And there's only two. Whatever men may say, there's only two. There's a kingdom of Satan and there's a kingdom of God. And the two are in a battle with one another. And only one is going to win. And there's only one outcome, and that is certain. The devil has already been defeated. He has been already humiliated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Already he has lost big, because there's millions and millions of people, because we all used to be in that kingdom. But now there's millions and millions of people down the ages that are in the kingdom of God. He's rescued them, he's saved them, he's redeemed them, and he continues to do so. But it is a struggle. It doesn't happen automatically. And so we need to be part of that. Not only this battle that's going on in your heart and my heart, in this domain, but it's much broader than that. That it takes into account the angels as well. So we only have 2 points this morning. First of all, Paul brings to us a call to preparation. A call to preparation. And the first thing that he wants to impress upon us and help us to think about and fix in our minds and hearts, that we can only prepare ourselves in the Lord's strength. Paul doesn't say, you know, if you exercise, you'll be this, you'll be this. No, no, no. The first thing that he tells us is this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In his might. We can't do it alone. Even if God gives us all the tools that we need, we can't do it on our own. It's only in the Lord's strength. It's just like Joshua or Gideon, for that matter. They couldn't do it in their own strength. Joshua is told to go out in terms of the conquest, but with the assurance of what? That I will be with you. I will be with you. I'm the one that's going to go ahead of you. I'm the one that's going to drive out the nations. Yes, you are instruments in my hand, but I'm the one that's going to do it. I wouldn't send you out otherwise. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples and they saw Satan fall. Not because they were so strong. Because Christ gave them power to cast out demons. And so these two phrases, one in terms of the strength of the Lord, and secondly, in terms of putting on the whole armor of God. So there are two things, two areas that we need to be equipped in. Both are absolutely vital. There are those that think that they are strong in the Lord because they understand the doctrines of grace. They understand scriptures. They're theologically astute. But they pay very little attention to their conduct. Very little attention to holy living. Very little attention to holy exercises. Very little attention, I might say, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are on dangerous ground. We need, yes, to be strong in the Lord. We need to understand the doctrines of God's word. But we can't stop there. We can't stop there. Otherwise, Paul would not have mentioned the other one. He would have just said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we're all set. But he doesn't say that. He goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. You and I have to do something. Not only in terms of fill our minds with certain truths, but actively, we need to use the avenues that he has provided, and that certainly finds its focus in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't ignore the church. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have built it. I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. He doesn't say, I'm going to strengthen my servant and no one's going to be able to touch him. He doesn't say that. No, it's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need both. And so we need to pay attention to both. On the other hand, others are so meticulous about holy habits and focus on controlling their lives, but disregard doctrine. They're not interested. Oh, theology is all, you know, abstract. I don't care about that. I'm just going to make sure my life is orderly in everything that I do. No. We need both. As the epistles teach us, there's certainly doctrine in these epistles, but there's certainly application of it in terms of how we live. I mean, even the world knows that. You can go to university, get all kinds of degrees, and be absolutely useless, practically speaking. But on the other hand, you can be very practical and yet not have the theory that you need to make wise choices. So we need both. And so we have to focus our minds on both. We must be strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the enemy is strong. The enemy is strong. As we read in 1 Peter, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And as people have put it, he has an appetite for Christians. That's his favorite meal. Doesn't care about the unbelievers. I mean, not that he loves them. He doesn't love anyone. He wants to destroy them too. But especially Christians. Because they remind him of the power of God. They remind him that he isn't the creator. That our God in heaven is the creator. And so he's out there. And he transforms himself into an angel of light. And so we think, oh, we got everything straight. But no, if our first parents fell, who were righteous, had all that they needed, had fellowship with God, then how are we going to stand in our own wisdom? No, we can't let our defenses down. No, we need to be strong. We need to take into account that the enemy that is before us. And we need to be strong to avoid personal failures. I don't have to remind you that you fail. That you sin. And I'm not talking about sins of ignorance. I'm talking about sins that we know are sins. The Holy Spirit even prompts us that what you're about to do isn't right. But we justify and do it anyway. And he can lead us into most terrible sins. I mean, you think David didn't know that adultery was wrong? He didn't know when he was going, those thoughts were going through his mind that they were wrong? The kings needed to read God's law. They had to have it written down and read to them so that they would be reminded of that in terms of their position. So he knew the law. He knew it was wrong. Every step of that process, he knew it was wrong. And he did it anyway. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord. The best of us, if we even think in those terms. The best of us, the maturest of us, fall into those traps. And so we have to guard ourselves and not be so confident in ourselves. And that's what the Bible says. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And we can look across the churches and see that. It's not just young people, is it? I mean, that's what we generally turn to first and foremost, young people, right? I mean, the passions are there and temptations are so much and we see it. It's not just them. Not just them. No, each and every one of us. We see divorce on the rise. We see all kinds of terrible activities that people engage in and are found out and spread across the news. No, we don't want that. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be on our guard against those things. And we certainly want to be strong in the Lord because we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing for citizens of one country to go somewhere else and to get into trouble. It's another thing for an ambassador to do it. I mean, then there's more shame on that country. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we fail, never mind the liberal media, Satan trumpets it across this creation. I mean, that was the whole point of Job. That's what he wanted to be able to do. And so we don't want to bring dishonor to God. We want to honor him in the light of all that he has done for us. And so we want to be prepared. We want this strength that God provides for us. Just having good morals isn't enough. David was a moral guy before. So was Paul. No, we need the Lord's strength. I was visiting Cammie this week. You know, she said very something to me. She says, is Cammie going to make it? I said, Cammie's not on her own. The Lord is with Cammie. Therefore, she's going to make it. With all the struggles. And we could say that for each and every one of us. We could say that to Hermena. Am I going to make it? I mean, all the negativity and what's facing me, am I going to make it? And you say, yes, you're going to make it. Because the Lord is with you. The Lord is going to make it. No matter how difficult the circumstances may be for each and every one of us. So, it's necessary then for us, in order to be strong in the Lord, to know about him. We need to read the scriptures. We need to know about who he is in terms of his being, that he is the Almighty God, and that he also took on a human nature. We need to know everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, not in some abstract and theoretical way, but in a way that will infuse us with strength and confidence. We face ill health and stuff, and that causes us worry. He is the great physician. As I reminded Cammie, this is a temporary situation. She will be whole, physically and spiritually, for each and every one of us. In him, we have all hope. We see it in his victory over the devil. I mean, the devil is daunting when we think about it, and we don't want to think about it too much, but we have to understand he is a defeated foe. Christ has humiliated him, disarmed him, gained the victory of which we are the fruit. However evil the world may seem to us and is, Christ is going to win. Christ is going to win. There's absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. We see it in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in his power over creation. It is all in his control, and he's working out his purposes. And they are good purposes in terms of believers, that is. The Lord's strength is beyond our wildest expectations. He was resurrected from the dead. I mean, death is a mighty foe, isn't it? But even in the face of death, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say, you know, well, you know, as sisters of Lazarus said, you know, if you'd come earlier, you know, you could have done something. Now it's too late. He stinks. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then those words that he said, and all the crowds heard it, as well as his sisters, and of course Lazarus himself. Lazarus, come forth. What? Really? That's why when we put our loved ones to rest, we do so with that glorious hope. It's not just a crutch that we give people. That's the way that the world does. Oh, she lives in our hearts. Oh, she lives. I mean, not that that's a bad thing. Of course, we do remember our loved ones. But they have nothing else. They don't speak about that we're going to rise, that we're going to be with the Lord and with one another. Now that's real. And that's because God has promised it to us and God has shown it to us. So it's the Lord's strength. We need to know about him. We also need to know that it's his battle. It's his battle. Satan really doesn't have any interest in you. I mean, you're neither here or there. He's just pawns, as far as he is concerned. His beef, if I may put it this way, is with God. He wants to attack God. He wants to replace God. He wants to be God himself. And so the battle is the Lord's battle. It's his struggle. And so he is spoken of in the scriptures as the Lord of hosts, the captain of salvation. He is the one that is taking on the devil. The devil established his kingdom here on earth. Illegitimate, yes, but nevertheless, the kingdom that he did establish. It's God who comes to destroy it. It's God who comes to rescue those that he's chosen to eternal life and to establish his kingdom, which is the only legitimate kingdom that there is. And so even though Adam and Eve failed miserably, God's redemption plan did not. And though the Israelites failed miserably often, the Lord Jesus Christ's plan did not fail and continued to move. And the Bible repeatedly reminds us of the fact that the battle is the Lord's. In the Psalms, for example, we're told that angels encamp around God's people to protect them. And we saw it in the Old Testament. The Lord goes to battle. He doesn't just send Gideon with a plan and say, you're on your own. No. Or Joshua, no. He goes with them because it's his battle. So that gives us confidence that it's going to be victorious. I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. God is personally involved. That's what gives us strength. That's what gives us confidence. The next time people are pessimistic about the church and giving to us all kinds of plans that they want us to adopt in order to put things right, need to be reminded it's the Lord's battle and the Lord is doing very well, thank you very much. Of course, there's room for us to improve. There's room for us to be obedient. We can be lazy, in a sense, as Christians. Certainly, we need to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is somebody in charge. And that work is going forward. But as I said, we are soldiers in this battle in this kingdom. And so we do need to be engaged. We can't have this idea, some people, let go and let God. Like God's doing it, so he'll take care of it. And you engaging in such activity as to promote that is really doubting the power of God, which is utter nonsense. Absolute nonsense. We are soldiers of the cross. We are not called to be spectators and cheerleaders in this battle. I mean, I was just about to take that back because some fans do act that way, right? They put on all the things and they sit in the seats and, nothing happens to them. But generally, you don't expect that, right? We don't put on those things. So why would God call us to put on the whole armor of God if all we were expected to do was just sit and cheer him? No. Try telling the early church that. We don't have to do anything, we're just cheering God on. Really? What are these lions doing before me? Why am I being burnt at the stake? This doesn't look like spectating. And you know it as well as I do. Our life in this world is not simply spectating. It's involvement. No, we need to be armed. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to resist the devil. We need to be sober and vigilant. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Even more explicitly, Timothy calls us to fight the good fight. We're told to be good soldiers. We need to be engaged in this struggle, in this battle, personally. You have a domain in your heart and your life that you need to work in and fight in, to bring it to subjection, to keep out the walls, to keep out the world. And you may think, you're just too crazy. You're going, way too panicked. It's everything's okay. Everything really? When you look at your life, you don't see anything. You don't see any dangers. You don't see the encroachment of the world. You can't identify it. Every one of us, as I said, young people and elderly people, we have to watch. And you know that the devil is at your door trying to get in, and to a certain extent is already there. And you need to escort him out. You need to resist all the attempts that he has to shape us in the way that he wants us to act, so that it will bring shame upon God and it will hinder the work of God's kingdom. Each and every one of us. Great chess masters, no pawn is, that they don't worry about it. I mean, sometimes we do when we play chess. If you know how to play chess, oh, it's just a pawn. But to them, it's never just a pawn. For God, you are not just a pawn. You have a place in his wonderful plan. And you need to be on guard of your life. And then you'll be used as an instrument in his hands. But as I said, not only do we have to fill our minds with these truths that help us to see reality as it is and helps us to see our part in it and what God is accomplishing and what God is doing and what his purposes are. We need to do that, but we also have to prepare ourselves. We do have to put on the whole armor of God. Notice a little bit later it says, for we do not wrestle. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever seen anyone wrestling with armor on? I mean, you wish they'd put a little more clothes on when they wrestle, right? They don't put a whole lot of clothes on. In fact, if I recollect clearly, I don't think they wore any clothes before. So how does this idea of wrestling and armor come into the same section? Paul uses the word wrestle to emphasize the personal nature of our engagement in this struggle. It's not at a distance. You don't fight this battle at a distance. You don't drop bombs from a jet. No, this is hand-to-hand battle. That's the way the devil engages each and every one of us. And so we need to be prepared. Parents are not going to come around and do it for you and you don't have to do it. Or the minister or the elders are going to do it and you just sit back in the background and you just applaud them. No, this is a personal battle for each and every one of us. You have to wrestle in close proximity as the devil tries to get the better of you. He will seek to argue with you that God doesn't love you. He will seek to argue with you that the Christian life is useless. He will try and argue with you that to live according to the law of God is just unrealistic. And you're going to be foolish. And people are going to look down upon you. And you're going to be the laughingstock of your peers. And therefore you need to give a little. Be a little more like them. Don't be stuck in the mud. Don't stick out like a sore thumb. No. We need to be assured of our salvation. We need to be certain about our salvation. We need to be certain where we stand and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the devil is going to come and undercut all of those things. You know, Ezra faced a difficult situation. He was going to go back to the God's country and help in terms of Jerusalem and the temple. And so he had all of this stuff that the king allowed him to take as gifts, right? And so then, the concern of people. I mean, if you have a lot of money and you go, then you're careful not so that other people don't know. Otherwise, you're sitting a target. And so that's the way Ezra was. He thought, well, wait a minute, I got all of this stuff. I'm going to go, and it's a long journey, and I'm going to get attacked. And so he thought, well, maybe I'll ask the king for help. And then he thought about it somewhere. He said, no. He said, how's that going to sound? Here I worship the Almighty God. And I told the king that. He's not a Christian, but I told him about, you know, God. And I told him how powerful he is. And now I'm going to go and I'm afraid and I'm asking him for help? What kind of message is that going to send? And so he went without asking for an escort. Because he understood that God is almighty, but it's not just words. We have to act on it. So you have to be convinced that God is almighty. You have to be convinced that this salvation that you have is wonderful and is never going to let you down. And that God's love for you isn't something that comes and goes. I mean, that's the way the devil wants it. Because whenever you're fighting, if you can cut off the supply lines, you've got the people isolated. So if the devil can cut off your supply lines to God, you're sitting duck. So we have to make sure that we don't allow that to happen. It isn't, it's never going to happen. But if he can convince you that it's happened, then you're going to succumb. So you really have to be assured of your faith. And so you really have to know the doctrines of grace and that your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that has to be certain. You have to also be certain about the Word of God. Because that's where God has given us these promises. And we'll see that is one of the avenues that provides us strength, is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So we need the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, let me tell you, if you don't know yourself, you are not a strong Christian. However much you think you have your life in control, if you're not reading the Word of God, you are weak. And the devil is going to find a way to exploit that weakness. And I'm not just talking about, oh, just read a few pages. No, I'm talking about understanding the Word of God. That takes effort. And so all the avenues that God has provided for you to do that, especially in our country, you can read books, you can come to the church, you can go to Bible studies. So many avenues are there for you. But you have to go. You have to give it a high priority so that you may be equipped. That's what it says, doesn't it, in 2 Timothy 3:16? The Word of God is profitable. Do we really believe that? It's profitable. To such an extent that it equips the man of God unto every good work. It supplies us with all that we need. So the Bible needs to be a big part of your life. Prayer is another thing. It's not that you just give you tools and that's it. You can handle them very well yourself. No, you can't. No, you can't. So we do need to read the Word of God. We do need to know the gospel. But we do need to pray to... I mean, the Apostle Paul, you heard at the end of this passage that I read, surprisingly perhaps to you, in verse 19 when he's talking about them praying, and he says, "And for me, Paul, you're an apostle. You know all of these things. You're so strong." And he says, "Pray for me that I may speak as I ought to speak." Because he faced great opposition. And so prayer needs to be a big part of your life too. So if you're a Christian and you never pray, you never... And I'm not saying, you know, a certain technique or certain way or certain place. No, no, no. Communing with God, speaking to God. If you're a person that is not in contact with God, you're not a strong person. You're not a strong Christian. We need to be in constant dialogue with God. Leaning upon Him. Crying out to Him. Worshipping Him. Seeking to honor Him in all that we do. We have the sacraments. We talked about assurance. How is our faith confirmed and strengthened if it's not through the sacraments? We ought not to ignore them as some sort of rite that we go through. No, it's the preaching of the gospel. That's what it is in sacramental form. It reminds us, it strengthens us that we're the people of God and that God has given to us all that we need for life and godliness. We need to take those seriously. We need to take worship seriously. It's the worship of God that gives us strength. When we are worshiping Him, we engage in looking at Him, thinking about Him. And that fills us with strength. Isn't it the psalmist in Psalm 73, in all of his confusion, when did he come to see the light, as it were? Wasn't it in the sanctuary? When he came into the sanctuary, he saw all of his upside down thinking, finally he realized. When he was envying the wicked and thinking that the Christian life was a waste of time. It's in the sanctuary that he realized his big mistake. People of God, the worship of God's people is edifying for us, not a chore. And so we need to come. We need to worship God. We need to thank Him. We need to see one another. We need to see what God is doing in each and every one of us. And encourage one another unto good works. People of God, the Christian, I mean, just like an army, they live with one another. They get to know one another. They work as a unit. That's what makes them strong. If we're just individuals going here, there, and everywhere, and once a week we come together and engage in worship, and that's all it is. We're not a strong army. We're not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be effective. But when we realize our place as individuals and as churches in this grand conflict that is going on, that God is going to win, and we're going to win with Him, then we have a new understanding of life. And our place in this world. People of God, it is the most privileged position for us to be the children of God and soldiers in His army. And we are filled with eager expectation as to what God is going to accomplish, not only in us, in here, in my life, but in the world around us. And we're eager were eager to have that complaint and to be part of it. People of God, God has given you all that you need. Be strong in the power of His might and take on this armor that God has provided, and let us put it on so that we might indeed enjoy Him and honor Him in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we are not insignificant as the world sometimes views us, as leaders sometimes view us, but rather, Father, that we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And not only have we received from You eternal life, but that in us and from us flows that river of life, reaching others. And so, Father, we pray that You would indeed strengthen us as Your people, so that we may go out into this world as avenues of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in terms of words, but that they may see the proof in our own lives that it works. In our holiness. In our desire to love You and serve You and reflect Your wonderful righteousness. Our Father in heaven, we are overwhelmed by the extent of this cosmic struggle. But we are so glad that we are Your soldiers and that You are the one that is leading us to battle and indeed to victory itself. Our Father, hear our prayers and bless us in this week and advance the cause of Your glorious kingdom in us and through us. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.